I'm not meant to be standing here this morning. It's meant to be Sandra. Sandra's at home this morning, not well. She got COVID during the week, and so we've had to pivot a little bit this week. You would have read in our connection corner that we're away on a staff retreat on Wednesday, and what a time of blessing that was to us. We were able to sit in the presence of God and be ministered to. And as someone who does ministry, who pours out, it was so nice to sit and be refreshed again by the Father. So it means in my week, I have Thursdays off, and so I've pivoted a little bit, and this morning, I'm doing my sermon from next week. Luckily, I was half a week ahead of myself, which is not like me. If you know me, that's not me at all. But I was half a week ahead of myself and I had an outline. And so these are the thoughts. And my hope is that my heart, as I had these thoughts, were connected to God. So let's dive in this week into smell. Isn't that exciting? My first thought when I thought about smell was, oh, I'll just kit the whole church out with flowers and it'll be amazing, the smell and the bloom. And then I thought, I can't do that. I'll just weep and cry and want to scratch my eyes. I have really bad hay fever. And so anybody else in the room, you're lucky we don't have lots of flowers this morning. For two reasons. One is I couldn't find so many flowers in the space of time that I had, but also I would just have to scratch my eyes out. But the sense of smell, and I sit there, and when I read about this, I said, how are we going to get a gospel message out of the sense of smell? But here we go. We're going to open John, from John chapter 12, in verse 1 to 3. It's entitled, Jesus is Anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man who had just been raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The whole house was filled with the fragrance. A bit of context here, just a few verses earlier in John chapter 11. The tomb door was opened to Lazarus's tomb. I want you to picture the smell of a rotting fish. No, not really. But that was the smell that came from the tomb as the door was opened. I don't know if you've ever been fishing before, but that fish smell stays on your hands. Paul, it's still there on Paul's hands, I can see. That fish smell stays on your hands for days and days and days and days. No matter what you do to wash your hands, and I've washed my hands until they almost bled one time to try and get this fish smell out. But the fish smell was still there. So you see, just a few verses ago, Lazarus's tomb was opened and the stench was disgusting. He was sitting with them. Did he still smell bad? Possibly. I don't know how good their soap was, but possibly he still smelled bad. But the context and the changing of this is that there is now a whole pound. That's a lot of oil, an anointment oil. It was equal to about a laborer's a whole year's salary. So this is some expensive stuff. And that aroma is now spread throughout the house. Nard was a highly valued perfume, often associated with luxury and with reverence. And by using this costly perfume, Mary demonstrates the depth of her love and devotion to Jesus. The aroma of this perfume, it serves us with this tangible reminder of Mary's act of worship, the significance of Jesus' presence among them. You see, there's these two mixings of smell, the smell of death, and yet the smell of anointing. The scent does not mask the death that is coming in just a few chapters. If we read on in John, we get to read of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But you see, in this verse, Mary pre-anoints Jesus, unleashing a fragrance that is as wild and as lavish as her act of devotion towards him. Just following this scene in John, Judas Iscariot criticizes Mary for her gesture, suggesting that the perfume could have been sold to benefit the poor. However, Jesus defends Mary's action, affirming its significance and highlighting its timeless importance in honoring him. The smell confirms her untamed love for Jesus, a love that brings her so close to him that she massages her love into the pores of Jesus' feet. You see, soon Jesus' body is going to be placed in a tomb, his lifeless body reeking of both the trauma, the sin, but also the embalming oils and the perfumes. And this statement will make its own declaring resolution towards God. It declares God's resolute love. The smell declares God's resolute love for Mary and for the rest of the world. We pivot now to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. It's a psalm of David, and it says this. Lord, I am calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. You see, in these verses, David is in a deep plea to God for help and for guidance. He cries out for help. He starts by crying out to the God, asking for immediate action. This reflects the sense of urgency that he has and the desperation that David has to seek God's intervention and assistance in this way. David implores God to listen actively to his voice. Amidst the cries, he says, listen to me. This shows a desire for God's presence and responsiveness in the time of need. And the last little bit I love, which is why I pulled this in, is the symbolism of this essence of incense being like offering to God. David employs this symbolic language, comparing his prayer to incense and lifting his hands to the evening sacrifice. You see, in ancient Jewish worship, incense and sacrifices were offerings presented to God as acts of worship, thanksgiving, or supplication. Here, David metaphorically presents his prayer like a fragrance, offering it to God, seeking his favor and his acceptance. This last week, I took a watermelon to an event. The watermelon came back to me. I left the watermelon on my desk. The hot sun shone through the window. My watermelon exploded. It had this foam stuff that was coming out from the inside. It leaked down the side of my desk and all the papers on my desk. It rains great, isn't it? Hopefully you're not getting wet. If you are getting wet, please feel free to just close the top windows because it's quite rainy. But this thing leaked down onto our desk. I walked in on Sunday morning last week, and I went, ugh. there was a stench of rotten watermelon. And I thought, who was that? I'm going to get them and I'm going to tell them off. And it was me. So I told myself off. Carol, thank you, Carol, for helping me clean up the mess. But you see, the mess was easy to clean. The smell, not so much. On the Monday, I walked back into the office space thinking, okay, I didn't really see. I think I got all the smell, but we'll see. I didn't get all the smell. It was permeated into the carpet. I got some cool shaky vacuum thingy, and we poured that on the carpet, and it sort of started to smell a little better. We vacuumed it up. Tuesday comes, it still didn't smell great, so we decided to light 4 or 5 candles around the office, all competing against each other. One was vanilla, one was like an air freshener candle that was like this beautiful fruity scented smell. And I don't know about you, Penny, but the scents just sort of all sort of went into one. And there was this essence of musty, gross watermelon with a beautiful fruitiness, vanilla yogurt, and whatever other the fragrance was there. But there was all these fragrances that were sitting in the midst of our office space. To finish the story, I walked in there again this morning. There was no candles burning. And I walked in, I'm like, oh yeah, still smells like watermelon. So if you want to know what the smell smells like, it is still there. Not quite as bad, but it is still there. You see, even though I had these nice-smelling candles burning, the gross, disgusting smell of the watermelon was still there. And my question to us in this is, what is the aroma that we are sharing? What is the aroma of the good news of the gospel that we are called to share? And we look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 2 to 14. And it says this: but thank God, he has made us captives and continues to lead us along Christ's triumphant procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell, the smell of death and the smell of doom. But to those who are being saved, we are life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such this task? You see, in these verses, Paul begins by describing and giving thanks to God that we're in this journey that he is on, that journey that we are on with him. He acknowledges our role, not out of a place of despair, but out of a place of victorious possession. We're not led into defeat, but we're led into triumph through our union with Jesus Christ. And this imagery reminds us that in every circumstance, we are more than conquerors in him who loves us, and that's Jesus. Paul continues, through us, the scent spreads everywhere, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Just as incense permeates the air with fragrance, just as the rotten watermelon permeates into the carpet, so too does the knowledge of Christ spread through us. Our lives are filled with the aroma of Christ's love. Our lives are filled with the aroma of Christ's love, of his grace, and his truth. And we become a sweet fragrance to those around us. Our words and our actions carry the scent of life, drawing others to the transformative power of the gospel. You see, yet Paul also recognizes that this fragrance is not always welcomed by everybody. He writes, "For we are not a pleasing aroma of the Christ among those who are not being saved. But to the ones we are an aroma that brings death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are the aroma of life." The same fragrance that brings life to someone can also invoke rejection, resistance from others. You see, this highlights the spiritual battle that is at play, where the gospel confronts darkness, the darkness of sin and unbelief. When the gospel confronts that, the smell is either fragrant and fresh because we can step into the love that we have from Jesus, or it is the sense of death and doom when we don't. Nevertheless, Paul assures us that everything that we need comes from God. He says, "And all who are equal to such a task, those who are called to the task." Adequacy doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from God, who empowers us through the Holy Spirit to be a witness, to be Christ's effectiveness in our communities. So therefore, we need to boldly proclaim the gospel, knowing that God's good works are spread through us, and the fragrance of Christ's triumph is spread through us. You see, we're called to spread this fragrance of love and salvation wherever we go. We're called to embrace our calling with confidence, knowing that we are in Christ and we are more than conquerors. And through us, God spreads the sweet, sweet aroma of His truth, of His love, of His peace, of His grace to a world that is in need. Jesus, may the fragrance of Christ permeate our lives, drawing others into the abundant life that they may have with you. Amen. Smell is also linked really closely to memory. First off, have you ever caught whiff of something familiar and suddenly been transported back to that time? For me, it's the fresh scent of freshly baked cookies reminding me that I'm at Grandma's kitchen. Or is it the smell of sunscreen that takes you straight back to the summer days when you were young at the beach? We see those smells are there. The smell is there so closely linked because it's linked into our memories. Now, here's how it works. When we smell something, our olfactory bulb in our brain sends signals to the limbic system. I've read this 7 times and I still can't say these words properly, which is part of our brain. So that part of the brain, so the smell sense this to this part of our brain, which is responsible for emotions, for memories and instincts. This limbic system is also where our brain processes emotions and memories. Now, what's really cool is that this olfactory bulb is located very close to the amygdala and the hippocampus, all good words, okay? All parts of our brain. And these two areas of our brain that play a big part in the role of memory and of emotion. And that's why when we smell something, it can trigger such a vivid memory, but also it can trigger strong emotions. So when we encounter a smell that you've experienced before, it can trigger a flood of memories, a flood of emotions, and that just takes you back to that place. This connection between smell and memory is so powerful that sometimes a whiff of a certain scent can bring back a memory that you haven't even thought about in many, many years. My question to us is, what is the smell that we are leaving with people? Are we covering ourselves with the aroma of Jesus? You see, we see this link between smell and memory. And so my question is, what is the memory that we are leaving with those around us? Our friends, our neighbors, our workmates or our classmates, even those that we just meet once out on the street. And my prayer for us is that we permeate a smell that is of the good news of the gospel. The good news of life in Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but smell also lures me to places. The lure into a restaurant that's cooking bacon. Oh, yum. The aromas wafting into my window from the neighbor's barbecue next door. It triggers an urgent desire in me. Who must have meat. That smell triggers that in me. And it's hard to get out of my head sometimes when the neighbor's cooking a really good barbecue. The smell of a beautiful candle sometimes lures me into a shop. Not because I want to buy anything from the shop, just because that scent and that smell takes me to a place of peacefulness. Smells are so luring. Almost to the point where we must engage with that smell. If we are the perfume of Christ, my hope is that this fragrance will be irresistible to those who need Jesus. I also hope that God's grace operates in a similar way. That God's grace is the essence that those people need to come to know him. Let's pray this morning. Oh, Jesus, we come before you with humble hearts. We come before you seeking your guidance and your strength. Jesus, we acknowledge your infinite wisdom and your love, and we are grateful for the gift of your gospel, which fills our life with purpose and with hope. Lord, we pray that you would empower us to be the fragrance of your gospel in this world. Just like a sweet perfume that fills the air with its aroma, may your love and your grace radiate from us, God, touching the hearts and the lives of those around us. Grant us the courage to live out your teachings with authenticity and compassion. Help us to embody the values of forgiveness, of mercy, and of unconditional love so that others may see you reflected in our actions and our words. Jesus, in moments of doubt or of fear, may your spirit remind us of your perseverance and your strength of our faith. Give us a boldness to share the good news of your salvation with those who are lost, who are hurting, and are patient to walk alongside them in their journey towards you. Lord, we pray that our lives would be living testimony to your transformative power. May we shine brightly brightly in a world that is filled with darkness, drawing others to you through the witness in our example. In your mercy, hear our prayer, O Lord. Guide us to be the fragrance of the gospel in a world that is hungry for you. and hungry for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and we're going to pivot to a moment of communion this morning. And as I was considering communion this morning, I want us to consider the aroma of the freshly baked bread. It's not freshly baked bread, but to consider that aroma of the freshly baked bread, a scent that evokes warmth and nourishment and sustenance. In communion, as we partake of the bread, let us remember Christ's body, which is broken for us. Let the aroma of his sacrifice and the sustenance he provides for our spiritual hunger. Thanks. Can I have a few more volunteers to help hand out? That'd be awesome. And as we think of the fragrance of the flowers, which I didn't bring in this morning, which brings joy and beauty to our surroundings. As we drink from the cup, let us be reminded of the new covenant sealed with Christ's blood. His sacrifice brings beauty and joy into our lives, transforming us from within. So together, as we partake in communion today, let us not only taste and touch, but let us also inhale deeply and savor the significance of the smell. Let it remind us of the richness of God's love poured out for us and the invitation to live a life that is fragrant and offering to him. May the aroma of Christ permeate our lives and draw others towards his saving grace. So from Matthew we read, "And while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when they gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it again with my Father in my Father's kingdom.'" So Jesus, I just pray this morning, as we take communion, as we hold the bread and the juice in our hands, as we smell the smells that are there, and Jesus, as we inhale from you the sense of the fragrance of you, Jesus Christ, may we breathe it in deep, so that we may breathe it out, and so that we may permeate from us the smell of your goodness and your love, Jesus. And so we pray that as we take these things this morning, would you bless us so that we may be a blessing to others around us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.